Tom Ratano lives in Connecticut, but has been summering in Misquamicut ever since he met his wife, who has roots in Westerly. The small three-bedroom house they bought from her family in Misquamicut sits right next to a water channel that connects the neighboring salt pond to the Atlantic Ocean. On this day, his house is temporarily elevated on red stilts and wooden pillars. He walks by the open dirt lot where the original foundation used to be, then heads towards his house, now standing in the backyard.
And we're walking across some of the excavated material and some of the old, what's left of the concrete porch. We'll climb the ladder if you can do that. We're up about, 4 feet off the original foundation.
As he steps into his living room, he describes the damage Superstorm Sandy did to his house.
And it was, we had water up to the outlets, about 17 inches of water inside.
The storm destroyed the first floor. Ratano had to rip out the floors and walls, put new insulation, and replace his electrical system. His back deck washed away and disappeared.
Hopefully never again.
Never again, he hopes, because he's one of 8 Misquamicut area homeowners who are elevating their homes with a federal grant that covers most of the cost to raise them. His house will be 15 feet above sea level. Ratano's house will have a new reinforced foundation that will rest on top of tall, thick concrete columns secured with stainless steel connectors. He believes doing this will keep it out of harm's way during future storms. He's pleased with the work so far.
And it's a very unique kind of a thing to be able to lift a house and move it 11 or 12 or 13 feet up in the air and then onto concrete columns that'll be poured and cured. Difficult.
Decisions about how to rebuild and adapt are also difficult. Amy Grabowski is a town director of code enforcement. People have asked her, why rebuild, given Misquamicut's long-known vulnerability to storms?
It's much easier for someone to say, just move, for our case, just move Atlantic Avenue, take those businesses and move them back. It's easy to suggest that, but for a town, that's where our tax base is. We have those houses, we have those businesses, and that helps run the community. And if we lose that tourism industry, we lose a lot of what we bring in order to support the town.
The town is trying to straddle the line between protecting commerce and protecting against the real effects of climate change that they live with every day. The town planner wants to check out properties away from the water. That way, beachfront businesses have somewhere to go in case they have to relocate in the future. The bottom line about rebuilding comes down to whether people have enough information to accurately assess the risk, says Grover Fugate, the executive director of the Coastal Resources Management Council. Even anticipating where risk will be is a moving target.
You always have sea level rise, and sea level rise will allow the storms to act upon the structures higher, and they will also allow the storm to penetrate further. So even though you may not be in a flood zone today, 20 years from now you may be.
Misquamicut lost about 90 feet of shoreline between 1939 and 2004. The CRMC has put together a guide for coastal property owners that lays out what they need to know about living or building along the water. Town officials have also been proactive about applying for grants to not only raise houses, but also to remove homes and businesses next to the Pocketuck River, which flooded in 2010. They hosted a group of outside consultants to look at more ways to protect Misquamicut's economy. The town wants to protect it from the rising open sea it faces and the storms that will inevitably strike again.
We're here very specifically to talk about sustainability, ways to rebuild, the way to grow and be successful, but to do it in the most sustainable way.
Town officials and residents show the visitors different spots where the town has repeatedly experienced devastation by hurricanes and superstorms, most of them near the main artery, Atlantic Avenue.
So obviously, 100 years ago, if they knew what they knew now, they wouldn't have allowed this stuff to be built, but we're built.
That's Caswell Cook, an outgoing town councillor, who says the town has to consider local jobs.
Keeping jobs. And one business down there called Patty's employs 100 people in the summer. So, I mean, what do you do? I think we're looking at things like, how do you nourish the beach? How do you have a maintenance plan to keep things as best as you can keep them to keep the economy rolling? I mean, the big factor is the economy. Otherwise, you could just abandon everything and leave, but we're not going to do that.
Right.
You know?
Cook says the town is trying to lead by example. It decided not to rebuild some structures on the beach knocked down by Superstorm Sandy and rebuild dunes instead. Businesses are also leading the way, like the Andrea Hotel. Superstorm Sandy clobbered it, and instead of completely rebuilding, the owner has set up a large, sturdy tent for the hotel's restaurant. and the owner of Sam's Snack Bar, replaced his business with a mobile trailer so that when a major storm is on the way, he can pack up and go. But threats to Mesquamaket aren't limited to storms. Save the Bay's David Prescott notes the neighborhood's roads are frequently flooded, even on calm, sunny days.
We have the oldest high gauge in the country, and we've seen about 10 inches of sea level rise.
Rapidly rising seas are pushing beyond the beach into Winnipeg Pond and its marshes. That rising water affects Atlantic Avenue.
So almost every single high tide, you're getting water on that road, not from rain. It can be dry for 3 weeks, and you're like, where is this coming from? It's coming from the marsh. So, you know, it's pushing everything up.
Prescott points to the main business district near the pond.
And that's the problem down there. You have no place for that water to go. There's absolutely no place.
Save the Bay has been working on a project to improve poor drainage areas in Winnipeg Pond. And the town plans to eventually remove the beach sand and debris Superstorm Sandy dumped into it. Town officials believe restoring the pond will attract more wildlife and improve the pond's ability to manage water from the ocean. A healthy, vibrant pond could be key for Mesquamaket's future, as it offers an opportunity to build an ecotourism industry. Tom Rotano has no doubt another Sandy-like storm will sweep through the area again. He expects his elevated reinforced home to sustain those future storms. He's repairing and elevating it so he can retire here.
And the way I look at it is it's for my children. It's for the future generations. Hopefully someone in the family will keep this property.
Rotano says Mesquamaket is as beautiful as it can be treacherous, but that doesn't scare him away. He loves it here, and the risk is worth it. He hopes his house will be ready by next spring after more than 2 years of work. I'm Bar Espinosa, Rhode Island Public Radio.